now to meet the men from the ministry. We present Wilfred Hyde White and Richard Murdoch in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the senior officials of Whitehall, those vital men who oil the wheels of government, but who seldom carry the can. At the General Assistance Department, there's a routine for dealing with every type of problem, but selecting the right treatment for each demands rapid decision and judgment.
Throw these papers into the waste paper basket, pass this lot on to someone else, and tear the rest up. Anything more, Mildred?
Yes, Mr. Lamb. You asked for the file on the decentralization of government offices.
Oh, yes, that big, thick orange one. Thank you. I've been meaning to attend to this for ages. There.
Is that all you wanted it for?
Yes, it's just the right thickness to prop up the short leg on this desk.
Good morning, too. Good morning, Mildred.
Morning, Mr. Hampton-Jones.
Morning, ma'am. Off you go, Mildred.
Yeah.
Well, well, too. How are you today?
All right, thanks, I think.
Very important program on TV last night.
Oh, you mean that documentary on the economic situation?
That's the one. Interviews with the Minister of Commerce, exporters, scientists, and so on. Big thing.
Yes, they had the Prime Minister to sum up and give a straight talk to the nation.
That's right. Did you see it?
No, I was watching Riders of Dead Man's Gulch.
Oh. You know, the permanent undersecretary wanted all the staff to view that economic thing.
Yes, but I thought you could tell me all about it.
Oh, did you? Well, yes. Now, let me...
What was the general
thing? Yes, well, naturally, they were a bit inclined to... Well, how shall I put it? Rather difficult to...
You didn't see it either.
No, I didn't, no.
Wednesday night, Mrs. Hamilton-Jones likes to listen to Semprini Serenade, you know.
Oh, really?
Doesn't like the television much, Mrs. Hamilton-Jones.
She prefers the wireless.
Prefers the wireless, yes. We have quite a little routine. Semprini on Wednesdays, many a slip on Tuesdays.
Oh, I believe that's very good.
And, of course, Thursday's our night for Have a Go.
Is it really? How's that?
I can just imagine that TV economics thing, you know, can't you? Lots of graphs. People talking about larger slices of the national cake and all that sort of thing. So it's a bit neither of us saw it, as Sir Gregory was so keen.
It was a very good Riders of Dead Man's Gulch last night.
Well,
it was about this chap with the big moustache who comes into the town to shoot the marshal.
Uh-huh.
But the deputy shoots him first.
The deputy shoots the marshal?
Yes. No. The deputy shoots the chap with the big moustache. He's been rustling.
Rustling? Oh, yes, I suppose that was his big moustache.
Yeah. Anyway, he shoots him, and this other fellow shoots the other chap,
uh-huh.
You see? And then... General Assistance Department, Mrs. Ram shooting. Speaking.
Pitkin here. Put Hamilton Jones on.
Yes, Sir Gregory. Right, it's for you, one. It's
oh, Gregory. Sir Gregory, the permanent undersecretary. Infernal nuisance. Why can't he leave us in peace for a bit? Hello, Sir Gregory. I'm nice to hear from you.
Did you see that thing on TV last night?
Did I see the thing on TV? Well, yes, Sir Gregory. The deputy shot this chap because his big moustache was rusty.
What nonsense is this?
What nonsense?
It wasn't the chap with the moustache who was rusty.
Oh, wasn't it?
No, it was a crooked bag of...
I beg your pardon?
Weren't you watching that program on the economic crisis?
Oh, Semprini was good last night, Sir Gregory. He did that thing that goes, how did that prison go, Mr. Semprini?
Bum-ba-lum, bum-ba-lum, Sir Gregory. This is the point of my call. Have you dealt with that report yet?
Have we dealt with the report?
That file on the decentralization of government offices. You've had it for months.
Oh, yes. We're giving it our most earnest attention, Sir Gregory, under review at this very moment.
Under review?
Yes.
Under the leg of your desk, more likely.
Oh, well.
I know how you run that office. Get on with it, man.
Yes, Sir Gregory. Do give my regards to Lady Pickin, won't you? Oh, I don't know why I bother with her. Sir Gregory's on about decentralization of London offices. Do you know anything about it?
Yes, luckily enough, I think I have the file to hand.
Good.
Well, to foot, anyway. Wait a minute. There we are.
What's it all about?
It's this scheme to move lots of government offices away from London. Economy of space and money.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Apparently the government has been offered this castle in Scotland.
Oh, of course, and we're supposed to go negotiate the purchase if we find it suitable.
Yeah,
that's place,
right.
Isn't it? Yes.
We were just waiting for the warmer weather.
So we were, when it looks we'll have to go now. Send them a telegram, will you, and get Mildred to pick up a couple of train tickets at the station.
Mightn't be too bad at that, you know. The curl of the heather, the smell of the pipes. No, I mean...
Very true, and that world-famous Scottish hospitality, the table groaning with good things, roast pheasants, fine old liqueurs, quite looking forward to it.
Oh, so much.
Will you have another spoonful of cold porridge, Laird?
I do go. But a wee bit more salt this time, eh?
Aye, well, another pinch wouldn't be self-indulgence, I suppose.
And while you're about it, you can fill my glass.
As you say, Laird, there. Pure water from the loch. Grand for the liver.
By the way, are you ailing for something, Dougal? I notice you lay abed till all of 5 o'clock this morning.
Aye, first time I've overslept in 30 years.
It's the sailing of the castle. It'll be preying on your mind, I'm thinking. But I can't afford the upkeep much longer. Well, see what the English have to offer. They'll be arriving this morning. You'd best let down the drawbridge, Dougal. Mile away and lock up the street.
Well, here we are. This must be the place.
Shall I drop a pebble in the moat and see how deep it is?
Oh, don't be silly. No time for that. Ring the bell.
Oh, all right. So that'll be this great rusty iron ring, I suppose.
You rang?
Yes, we rang. My name's Hamilton Jones. This is my assistant, Mr. Lamb.
From London.
London? Oh, a heathen place by all accounts, given over to the lusts of the flesh.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We do like our morning tea and biscuits, of course, but...
You'll be wanting the Macleamore. I suppose you'd better come in. No, down, McDurk, down. You can smell that you're foreigners.
Foreigners?
That'll do, McDurk. The Laird's expecting them.
McDurk's an unusual name for a dog.
Aye, named after Bloody McDurk, the scourge of the English.
Oh.
He's no been fed today.
Hasn't he? Well, you go first, too.
There's a room prepared for you in the Black Tower. Oh. The Macleamore will grant you an interview at the midday meal.
Thank you.
Follow me.
My word, it's a bit chilly in here.
Aye, it's the wind off the moor. It whistles through the portcullis and catches you right between the armory and the south passage.
Interesting place you have here.
Yes. I love this imitation stone wallpaper. Very contemporary. Almost like the real... Ooh! Pity, that was my best finger there.
Well, here you are. This is your room. No doubt you'll be wanting to wash.
Yes, indeed. A nice hot bath after the journey would be very welcome.
Well, you'll find a pitcher of cold water in yon stand.
Cold water?
I trust you'll no use it wastefully. There's no more till tomorrow. I'll be away the noo.
What an odd fellow. Comes from not being English, I suppose. Put the bags on the bed.
On the bed, yes. Oh, yes. Not very well sprung. I suppose I'd better unpack. On the banks of shaving brush, shaving soap.
Haven't seen that brand before.
It's a new one. Count Rudolph Toiletries for Men.
Oh.
For the man with the swashbuckling skin. I've got the whole range. Shaving cream, pre-shaving lotion, aftershave lotion.
Are you really? Where's your razor?
Oh, I knew I'd forgotten something.
Typical use of an electric razor, like I did. Now, where do you think the plug point would be?
I don't know. It's so dark in here. Shall I light the oil lamp and have a look?
Oil lamp? Oil lamp? Oh, good heavens. How can I say? Well, you needn't bother. No. I suppose you just had to make the best of it. Come along. We'll be meeting the Laird for lunch in half an hour. Well, there I am at Claymore. We'd like to have a good look round, of course, but at first glance, this castle seems ideally suited for our decentralization of London offices.
Aye, but we'll not talk business until after we've eaten, and then I'll show you around myself.
I'd be like to ask, who's that fellow standing over there in the corner?
Oh, that's Duncan. Duncan the Silent, we call him. He's my personal piper. He'll give us some light music while we're eating.
Ah, lunch. Goodness me, this island air gives you an appetite.
Aye, here's your soup.
Soup? Oh, soup. How kind of you. My word, that was nice.
There wasn't any much of it.
There wasn't
any. The McLemore does not believe in gluttony.
Ah, the pipes, the pipes. It does my heart good to hear them. Stirs the blood, eh?
Stirs the blood? Did you say I can't hear what you say?
The pipes, man, the pipes, the grand sound.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. I can't hear a word you say for that dreadful racket.
Racket? The McLemore's piper is renowned throughout the glen.
No good talking, I can't hear a word. Oh, that's better, he's moved away a bit. Much nicer now he's gone down that end of the room, isn't it? Now tell me, what's this next course you've given us here?
Haggis. I made it myself. Oh, a whole sheep's stomach stuffed with offal and oats.
Really? A whole? Oh, dear. What a pity, I'm not very hungry today.
What?
My number two now, he's tucking it all right, aren't you?
What's that one? I wasn't listening.
You're enjoying that, I said.
Yes, yes. Unusual flavor. And what did you say it was?
A whole sheep's stomach stuffed with oats and offal and...
Would you excuse me?
The McLemore does not like guests to leave the table before the end of the meal.
Here, man, would you like a glass of clear, sparkling loch water? Or would you prefer a dram of this rather inferior whiskey?
Oh, I'd prefer...
Will you have the black oat cake now, Leard?
Black oat cake?
Aye, Dougal makes the finest black oat cakes north of the border. Plain but good. They lie on the stomach like a lead cannonball.
I don't feel very well. I think I will have that whiskey. Can I have a drop of soda water and some ice in it?
You have upset Duncan with your wee joke about the soda and the whiskey. It was a joke, I tell
you. Of course, it was a joke. How could you think anything else? Oh, that's my number two. Always joking, never stops.
Perhaps we should have a look round the castle now, eh, Bob?
All right, John. I'll tell you a bit about the history of the place as we go along. This fairy banqueting hall was the scene of the terrible disaster of 1832.
Really?
It was my great uncle Hamish dropped a full bottle of whiskey. If you'll come through here now, you'll see the very spot where Angus the Mighty fought alone against 40 of the cowardly MacTartans in 1751. They ran him through with four broadswords, three pikes, and a handful of dirks.
Oh, dear, what an ugly business.
Aye, he couldn't have played the pipes for a day or two after, I believe.
Ah, this will be the wine cellar, I suppose.
That's right. It was here that my grandfather, Donald, fell into a big vat of fine old whiskey. He drowned, of course, after struggling for 3 hours or more.
What a terrible thing.
Aye. Mind you, he got out twice for a bite each.
Oh, well, that was a help, wasn't it? But behind that door, this door
is the dungeon. After you.
Ghastly thing. Look at those pathetic messages scratched on the walls. Can you see? Alexander MacTool, 16-3, died on the rack. Jamie Findlay, 1723, is it? Taken by the plague.
There's another one here. Duncan the Silent cannot keep his hands to himself. It's signed Genie, 1965.
Shall we go back upstairs? It's a bit chilly down here.
Aye, well, you've a lot more to see. I'll lead the way.
You're right about these dungeons being chilly ones, not to mention dark, dusty and damp. I can't say I'd like to work here.
Well, it's not our concern, my dear fellow. We've just come to make the purchase. And we'd better see the purchase go through, judging from Sir Gregory's manner. Come along.
Here we are, back in the banqueting hall.
Here we are. Yes, thank you very much. Most interesting. Now, shall we get down to business?
Aye, check it out. I'll call McGilley. Dougal, come in here. He knows a wee bit about these matters.
You called, Lear?
Check it out, man. We're talking business.
Well, gentlemen, we think the property might be suitable, and we're prepared to make you an offer.
I trust you'll not take advantage of our lack of experience in these matters.
We realize that complex negotiations of this sort are probably new to you.
Quite so. Babes in the wood, you might say.
Babes in the wood, indeed, of course, of course. Now, what I thought was...
You'll bear in mind the residual value of entitlement to develop at good amount to 6.75% with depreciation allowances, of course.
Could it? Oh, yes.
Aye. And then there's a bi-contractual nature of the lessee's obligation. That's what revaluation has regard to the provisions of the amendment of the Freehold and Leasehold Act, 1923, subsection 2, paragraph 1.
You took the very words out of my mouth, lad. The figure I had in mind was £40,000.
I don't know. You're asking me to sacrifice the traditions of my ancestors for a mess of pottage.
Just think what you could do with all that money. The south of France, glorious sunshine, palm trees, an occasional flutter in the casino, eh?
The McLemore does not approve of gambling.
I don't?
No.
Oh, no, no, I don't approve of gambling.
Yes, what I really meant to say was how much you'd enjoy the beautiful beaches, fine golden sand, girls lying around in bikinis.
The McLemore does not approve.
Oh, I must do. Everybody does.
Leave this to me, too. Now, let's say, shall we say 41?
Aye, but should a man throw away his heritage for sordid financial gain?
42,000?
Done.
Done? Oh, splendid.
I'll have my lawyer send the deeds along. We can sign the contract tomorrow evening.
Yes, I think we'd better phone the news. Sir Gregory will be delighted to hear it, won't he? Come along, too.
Are you through yet?
Well, it takes time, you know. I think I'm getting the local operator now. Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, hello. Is that you ringing me, Duncan, my love?
No, madam. I'd like a London number, please. Are you there? Whitehall 1928.
Oh, you're a great kidder, Duncan. A wee joke with that funny voice.
Funny voice. Now, look here, madam.
Off away with you, Duncan.
I assure you, my good woman, I'm not Duncan.
You're not? Oh, he'll be awful jealous when he hears you've been flirting with me. He has a rich, nasty temper when he's roused. Still, you sound pretty bonny yourself.
What? Look here. Please get me Whitehall 1928.
Oh, all right.
That poor woman thought I was someone called Duncan. Tried to ravish me over the telephone. I think I can... It's ringing now. Yes, let me see. 4:05. Should be just in time to catch Sir Gregory before he goes home. That is, if he's back from lunch.
Ken.
Ah, Sir Gregory, how nice to hear from you. Well, that is nice of you to hear from me. I said that because I am ringing you. You see, it's only the other way about, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. Something tells me that's Hamilton Jones ringing from the Claremore Castle.
Oh, you clever boy, isn't he? Yes, I'm Hamilton Jones, Sir Gregory, ringing from the Claremore Castle.
Well, what's the news?
Most suitable place. I can say the most suitable place for government departments, Sir Gregory. Large, airy room.
Excellent, excellent.
Hardly any windows and all very high up.
Splendid. Won't have the junior staff window gazing
at. Splendid indeed, not. No, splendid. And the walls and the floors, good, solid granite. No need for carpets or wallpaper.
Good, good. That will save a few shillings.
All save a bob or two. I say this is just the place where people get down to some really hard work.
No outside distractions,
not
eh?
One.
Capital,
yes.
Well, that's settled then. I'll arrange for your personal effects to be sent on immediately.
Oh, that's very... I beg your pardon?
Took take more than a day or two to get your desks up there.
Our desk? What's the matter, Thomas?
No, no, don't thank me. No, it's all right.
I didn't thank
you. Well, it's only right that you and Lamb should have the first charge.
Just a minute, Sir Gregory.
What a fine example, eh? The very department that's organizing this decentralization business, doing it from Scotland. Well, I shall stay here, of course, handling the London end.
You can't expect me to work in this draft.
Now, say no more. I'll get straight on with organizing the removal.
Wait, Sir Gregory. Wait. Oh, he's gone. He's sending our desk.
What? We can't work in this ghastly mausoleum. What are we going to do?
Well, the laird hasn't actually signed the contract yet.
By Jove, you're right.
Back to the banqueting hall. Oh, yes, thank you very much. We got through all right. Thank you.
And your superior. He was well pleased.
Oh, yes. Oh, he was delighted. Now, look here, Mr. Lett. My colleague and I have been thinking over what you said.
Yeah, about sacrificing the traditions of your ancestors for a mess of porridge.
Yes. We really were most impressed, Mr. Lett. We really were most impressed by your arguments, weren't we?
Oh, most impressed. As you said, it'd be unfair to expect you to throw away your fine Highland heritage for... for this financial gain.
True, but I must not be sentimental. Fran can have the check.
Let's not be too hasty. Think of haggis and porridge. You won't find any of that in the south of France.
We must make these little sacrifices. I'll just have to make do with juicy fillet steaks cooked in butter and smothered in mushrooms.
Yes, but surely...
Enough. I'm sure you mean well, but when a McLemore gives his word, it's his bond. I'll away and call my lawyer.
The laird's taking the loss right bravely. He'll no go back on his word now. But it's a fine sensibility you show, considering your English.
You don't seem very fond of the English.
Oh, I'm a tolerant man. I've never subscribed to the view that they're not human.
Well, that's very decent of you. Thank you very much.
What have you got against us?
Well, I mind we've had a few wee battles with Assassinach. There's the massacre of Glensporren, for one.
I can't say I've ever heard of it.
Oh, where's your education, man? It was a braw-brisk nicht in 1746. The redcoats crept up through the heather, led by the infamous butcher of Glensporren. They fell on the unsuspecting McLemores, and a dreadful massacre ensued.
Oh, how jolly unsporting.
When the cold light of dawn came to the glen, half the clan lay dead, and the butcher celebrated his ill-gotten victory.
What a bloodthirsty fellow. Are you sure he was English?
Oh, aye. We'll not forget his name in a hurry. Sir Percival Pitkin, the butcher of Glensparren.
Pitkin, did you say?
Aye.
Well, there's a coincidence. Aren't you Pierre in London?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sue. Was that your ankle? I do beg your pardon. I'm sure we don't want to keep Mr. Dougal standing here chatting. Must be a very busy man.
Aye, well, I'll away and start the packing.
That's it.
Girls in bikinis, eh? Disgraceful.
Why did you kick me while I was only going to say that Sir Gregory might be related to this Percival Pitkin?
Just it. I know you well. As a matter of fact, he is related. I remember him talking about his family tree. Very aristocratic, you know. Sir Percival came in between the one they hanged for treason and the one they transported for life.
Well, then, why...
Don't you see, too? This may be our way out. Don't you see? Don't you see? Don't you see? The McLaymores have long memories, and they obviously hate Sir Pitkin.
You mean...
That's right. If we can get Sir Gregory to come up here, then just at a psychological moment, introduce him to the lad as a descendant of the butcher of Glensporren.
You're a genius, one. The lad would never sign over a castle to a Pitkin. The whole deal will be off.
Exactly. Get Sir Gregory on the phone for me, too, will you? I don't want to talk to that dreadful woman if I can help
you.
You're
right. Ah, there you are, operator. Will you get me Whitehall 1928, please?
Oh, is that you again?
No, it's not me, it's him. That is, it's not him, it's me.
Oh, you're teasing me, you handsome brute.
You don't understand. The handsome brute is standing beside
me. Stop messing about and get on. What do you think you're doing? Get on with
it. Oh, I can hear him. Oh, the lovely man.
Never mind him. Just get me Whitehall 1928. At once, you hear? At once.
Oh, you are a masterful devil. I couldn't refuse your thing. I've dialed it already.
Ah, it's ringing. That's the way to handle them. You've got to put your foot down. Be firm. Let them know who's boss.
Hello.
Ah, Pitkin, what took you so long, eh?
What?
Mr. Hamilton Jones would like to speak to you.
Sir Gregory, how are you? Are you there, Sir Greg? Yeah, are you there, sir?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, he's there, yeah. Well, I trust you're well. Your family all in the best of health, Sir Greg, I hope.
Are you going to spend the taxpayers' money just giving me a medical checkup?
Oh, he wants a medical checkup. No, I can't do that. Sir Gregory, I'm just calling you to put you in the picture, as the expression is. The Laird's having the deeds brought round here tomorrow to complete the purchase.
Well, what of it?
Well, I was just thinking, might be more appropriate to have a really senior official present. Add a little prestige.
Prestige, indeed. Yes. If you think I've nothing better to do, then trot off to the middle of nowhere.
Oh, quite so, Sir Gregory. I know you're very busy, very conscious of you, if I may say so. After all, work must come before salmon fishing.
Of course.
Yes, finest in this part of Scotland, I'm told. Next to the grouse shooting, of course, it's the biggest attraction.
Oh, grouse shooting?
Yes, grouse shooting, yes. As for the hospitality, Sir Gregory, quite frankly, I've never done anything like it.
Really? Yes. Well, look here. Yes. Perhaps there's something in what you say, Hamlet Jones. Yes. Nothing like being on the spot to see that everything goes smoothly.
Quite right. There's an excellent train tomorrow. You should arrive here in the evening, just in time to sign the document.
Quite so, yes. And after that, well, a few days to look round, eh?
Yes.
Salmon fishing, eh?
Grouse. Oh, Sir Gregory, I've forgotten something. A razor. Could you bring a razor and some hot water? Who could have been cut off?
He's coming, then.
Yes. I can't wait to see the lad's face when we introduce him to Sir Gregory Pitkin.
Oh, descendant of the butcher of Glensporren. Yes. Why, say, I hope they don't get violent. I never could stand the sight of blood.
Where are the two Satanash, Dougal?
One of them has gone down to the station to meet their superior. The other is up in his room with a boiled egg.
Honey, eaten habits, the English. He took a knife and fork to his porridge this morning.
Aye. And I made it a bit thinner than usual, too. Here, that sounds like him, the new.
Ah, good evening, McLemore, Dougal.
Good evening. Will your friend be very long, do you think?
No, I don't think so. He's only gone to collect the Gregory pity about the weather, isn't it?
Dougal, tell Duncan to away up the battlements and sound the pipes.
We'll welcome them in style.
Good grief, are they torturing someone up there?
It's the pipes, Sir Gregory, the pipes. They stir the blood, wouldn't you say? Ah, they've come out to meet us.
Who are the other two with Laird?
Well, the big hairy one's Dougal McGilly, and the other's the Laird himself.
Oh, the fellow I signed the contract with, eh? Looks a striking figure.
Yes, we hope to be struck by him, Sir Gregory. Here we are. Oh, Mr. McLemore, I'd like you to meet Sir Gregory Pitt. Pity we're a bit late. The train, you know.
How do you do?
Ah, how do you do? Come away in. Come away in.
Most impressive
hall,
the Claremont.
Ah, I will be sorry to leave it. Of course, Sir Gregory, he's looking quite cheerful.
Wait till I drop his name at the right moment. Shall I do it now? Yes, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I think we ought to get on with the signing of the contract, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes, quite right, Helen Jones. Business before pleasure. After you, McClaremore.
No, after you.
Here we are, Sir Gregory, just here. Better sign your full name, Sir Gregory Pitkin.
All right, just stand out the way, will you?
Oh, beg your pardon. Pitkin.
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory Pitkin.
Yes, yes.
P-I-T-K-I-N, Pitkin.
Yes.
Did you say Pitkin?
Yes, that's right. Why?
You're not related to Colonel Sir Percival Pitkin.
The butcher of Glensporren.
Who massacred half the McLemore clan during the Jacobite Rebellion.
Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. It's one of my more illustrious forebears, actually.
I told you it would work, too. The lad's rising to his feet.
He's reaching out with his great sinewy hands. I can't look.
I'm very pleased indeed to meet you, Sir Gregory. I didn't realize you were a Pitkin. Let me shake you by the hand. This is a proud moment.
What, the McLemore shaking hands with a Pitkin?
What about the massacre of Glensporren? Didn't you hear the rest of the story? We McLemore's caught up with Sir Percival on the same night. They say he fought like a savage. A broadsword in one hand, a pistol in the other.
Yes, it's all in the family history. They fell on him. Got him by the Trossachs. But he took 7 more McLaremores with him before he finally fell. Oh, gallant lads all.
What a fighter he was, man. I'm glad you have the privilege of meeting one of his descendants. Here, have another glass.
Oh, dear, didn't quite work, did it?
Looks to me as if we're stuck up here after all.
Well,
this is a great occasion. Duncan, strike up the fight. I want to get a toast. Here is to Sir Gregory Pitkin and the man from the ministry.
Here's for a successful career with his general assistance department in the Claremont Castle.
Long may your lum reach.
No need to add insult to injury.
Oh, yes. Still, I suppose I shall get used to it. I do have a little Scottish blood in me. My grandmother was a McBawby on her father's side.
That's so.
McBawby! You mean this McBawby blood running through your veins?
McBawby, yes, that's right.
You mean to say that I've been entertaining a McBawby under my roof? Ah, your clan and mine have been mortal enemies for 300 years. You must leave at once, do you hear? I'll not have McBawbies in this castle.
You won't? Well, I think I'd better leave as well. I seem to recall a distant cousin of mine called McBawby.
No more! I'll not have a bunch of McBawbies working under my roof, whether I'm here or not. I tear up this contract first.
Let's not be hasty, McClaremore. I mean, it doesn't have to be this department working up here.
I do, it's good to be back in the office again.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Lovely place, Scotland, but I didn't much care for that castle, did you?
Lucky coincidence, really. Your cousin being a McBawby as well. That was the last story, my friend.
I think her name was McBawby, something like that. Oh, yes, I remember Robinson. Well, very similar, really, aren't they?
You mean... Oh, one, you crafty old... which department are you sending up to McLemore Castle instead of us, one?
Tricky problem, that, you know, too. I had to consider every aspect of the question. Based my decision on the whole tradition of government policy.
And which department will you send?
The Ministry for Welsh Affairs.
With the Welsh Affairs mob gone, that big building in Trafalgar Square will be empty.
Good point, Mildred. Now, who can be put in Trafalgar Square?
What about that department no one's been able to find a home for? The Scottish Fisheries Board.
What an excellent idea.
I thought you'd like it.
You are clever than a price of money.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Wilfred Hyde-White and Richard Murdoch. Also featured were John Laurie, Roy Dupree, John Graham, and Norman.